You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Joshua Live. I'm Gary Temple Bodley. On today's episode, Joshua continues more about beliefs and how all of our limitations are self-imposed due to the fact that we're not really looking at our limiting beliefs. So the limiting beliefs are beliefs that don't have enough information, and they cause us to react to conditions as if the conditions are wrong or bad. And the only purpose of these events that are happening are to point out our belief system. So if we can see that an event is triggering a limiting belief, we can look at that limiting belief and process it. And that's really what the key is here. We want to modify our rigid set of beliefs so they become more malleable, and we can remove our limitations through processing limiting beliefs and proving to ourselves that they are not true. So I think you'll find this episode really interesting. Before we begin, I'd like to remind you to like and subscribe to this podcast, to share it with your friends. I really appreciate you, all of you who do that. This podcast is growing quite well. But of course, there's millions of people who aren't listening. So the more we can share this with people in our lives, the more we can push past fear to send over the podcast on Facebook or email or some other way, well, the more this will grow and the more it'll help the collective consciousness as we all move from fear to love. We have an event coming up in October. It's the Changing Leaves, Changing Lives retreat here at our house in outside of Charlotte in Newton. And so we're getting ready to get that going. If you'd like more information, send me an email to garybodley@gmail.com. It's really cool. We have 4 days of Joshua and cooking and meditation and yoga and drinking wine. It's really a lot of fun. If you haven't been to the ones we've had before, definitely thinking about coming to this one, and I'll send you all the information. Okay, well, get ready and enjoy this show. We are thrilled to be here.
Hello, Joshua.
Hi, Joshua.
Hi there.
Hi,
Joshua.
We'd like to start talking to you about your persona. This is this idea of you that you've established for yourself. It's based on all the experiences you've had during your life, all the beliefs you've adopted along the way. It's based on this ideal of who you think you should be, and that ideal is matched against who you think you are. So there's always a separation between the ideal version of you in your mind and this version of you that exists in the present moment. And many of you are wanting or hoping or thinking about how you could improve in some way in order to match this ideal version of you. And that ideal version of you is often based in a bunch of limiting beliefs that you adopted along your way. If you believe that you should be better than you are in any way, if you are imperfect as you are now, then you are looking outside of yourself for some validation of this persona. And since the persona is built upon the illusion of who you are and not the truth of who you are, you can never really get to that ideal because you're always thinking of yourself in terms of imperfection, of right and wrong and good and bad. When you can understand who you truly are and realize this is the perfection that is you, then you can let go of that ideal, and you can also let go of that persona, because the persona was always designed to get people to respond to you or to get conditions that you thought would be favorable in some way for your purpose of filling in what you lacked in your life. And you might say, well, I lack money, therefore if I had money, I would feel better. And this is how the old approach to life is. It's looking at the conditions outside of you, the people outside of you, how you even feel about yourself, and saying, that's not enough, I need more. There must be something wrong with me because I'm not getting what I want to get or what I lack, and therefore I need to be different than I am. And yet you can't be different than you are, because who you're being in the moment is based on how you perceive yourself, what you believe about yourself, and this ideal that you have for this better or improved version of yourself. But imagine now that you have always been perfect. There has never been anything wrong with you. You are worthy and whole. You are an eternal, magnificent, limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. You are inherently worthy of everything that you desire, both in terms of what you truly desire, more love, more connection, more experiences, more growth, more expansion, and what you think you lack. You're worthy of that as well. If you think you lack money, you are inherently worthy of more money. But the idea that you define yourself in this term as this persona, needing things to be different than they are, is actually what sets you apart from those things that would be naturally flowing to you if you identified with who you truly are. And because you have attracted beliefs along the way, you cannot push away those beliefs, because everything in this reality is attracted, and once it's attracted, it's there within that vibration forever. So you cannot lose anything, including your limiting beliefs, but you can soften them. You can change them. You can make them less intense. You can prove that they're not true. You can find evidence that fills in the holes of your limiting beliefs. Your limiting beliefs are simply beliefs that do not have enough information. If they had the information, then they would be less limiting. And so because they don't have all the information, they are assuming something about you or other people or the conditions that is not true. It's based on the illusion, and that illusion is based in fear. In love, you are whole and worthy and good and capable of creating anything you want. Doesn't matter what it is. You can have, be, and do anything in this reality. It's absolutely up to you, but you have to adjust your vibration to become a match to those things you want. And your vibration is influenced by your set of beliefs. So if your set of beliefs are limiting, it will limit you from attracting that which you truly want. If your set of beliefs are empowering, you will be empowered to have experiences and receive inspiration and take action that will be aligned with this version of you that is correct, that is true, that is not abiding by the illusion, but is in fact based in the reality of who you truly are, which is a limitless creator. So if your persona is designed to support the idea of you as a victim to outside circumstances because you perceive that other people can make you feel something or the conditions can make you feel something, then you'll be exploring who you're not, chasing your tail, discovering that your limiting beliefs are propping up again and again and again in manifestation events. But since you perceive yourself as the flawed victim of these events, you will not look into the information that's contained in the manifestation events, which are there to point out the missing information in your belief system. If you change your approach to life and now define yourself in terms of limitless, of magnificent, of eternal, of being the creator of your reality, of being the source of love that flows from the non-physical to the physical in your reality, then you can reimagine yourself in a brand new way that is more aligned with who you truly are and is more aligned with love and is more aligned with how your inner self sees you and your life. So then, what is the process by which you move from fear to love? Well, if your set of beliefs are a mix of limiting beliefs and empowering beliefs, well, we would say that the work then, or the method by which you transmute your vibration from fear to love, would be in reducing the intensity of limiting beliefs and raising the intensity of your empowering beliefs to create a brand new belief system that then amplifies and affects and modulates and influences a higher vibrational frequency. If you are existing as a victim, you are existing in a lower vibrational frequency that is a match to the illusion as you perceive it from your unique perspective. And no one else can perceive that except for you. As you move towards the truth of who you are, you alter your belief system. You do not abide by what you tend to consider to be limits upon you imposed by the outside, but you realize that those limitations are all self-imposed and they are not true. And so you do the work to prove those limitations false. And on the flip side of that, you identify your empowering beliefs. Now, those empowering beliefs could be, I'm intelligent, I'm capable, I'm funny, I'm lovable, I'm attractive, I am powerful, I'm eternal, I'm a being of love, I'm magnificent, I'm limitless, and I can be, have, and do anything I want. If you choose to see yourself in these brand new terms, then whatever limits you will come up in your reality in the form of manifestation events or even just resistant thought. And if you can process those limiting beliefs and those resistant thoughts at that time in a way that is not bringing yourself down or not condemning yourself or not being hard on yourself, but playing with it in a fun way to say, oh, that's just an old belief. That's not true. Oh, isn't that interesting how that came up? Oh, I can prove right now that it's false. I know that in my life, things have always worked out. I know that I've always been given everything I needed. I know that I'm abundant. I know that I'm worthy. I know that I'm perfect as I am. And I know that I can't really understand who I truly am because I've adopted all these limiting beliefs, but I'm in the process of moving from a limited belief system to an empowering belief system. And with each step, I will gain clarity and eventually I will see the light. I will see the light to who I truly am. And when that happens, everything changes. You see, when you come on this journey of self-discovery, step by step by step, looking at the limiting beliefs for what they are, which are not true, and looking at the empowering beliefs for what they are, which is true, well, you raise your vibration and you gain more clarity and the light starts to come in. And as the light starts to come in, you build a momentum of this journey of self-discovery where you are seeing more clearly. You are understanding why other people are in fear. You are understanding why you are in fear in past incarnations of yourself. You are understanding how the game works and what the conditions represent. They represent your vibration at a certain time, but they do not mean anything of you. And if you look in your past and you say, oh, I went through that traumatic thing or that difficult period, well, you can see that in those times, you were offering some resistance to what was going on, and you were looking at yourself from a limited perspective. That's just what was happening in the past and has no bearing on who you are now, because those events had to happen for you to get to where you are now. So everything worked out perfectly. Now you get to choose how you interpret every event, every thought, every ideal about yourself. And you can now look at it from a higher perspective and say, is this true? Or is this just a limitation that was imposed on me at an earlier stage in my life? And if it's a limitation, then I know it's a self-imposed limitation because I have the absolute power to process that limiting belief that causes that limitation to occur. And as I play this fun game of processing limiting beliefs, with each step, I receive clarity. As I am more often in alignment, I'll receive inspiration. And with each inspired action, I'll gain more confidence. And so I'm building this momentum to more confidence and more clarity to arrive at a point where the light comes in and I can understand who I truly am. And at that point, I can understand how I serve. And at that point, I can understand who everyone else is as well. And I can let them off the hook for their behavior that's based in fear. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who'd like to start?
Joshua?
Yes.
I will follow my inspiration and ask a question. This is JoJo. I've been pondering a thought where a couple of friends will come to me and express, and I'm going to call it their manifestation events. I don't talk to them about what I'm doing here. And I do my best to listen to them, have compassion and empathy, and try to notice my judgments, right? Try to be careful or notice that where I'm making judgments. But I'm going to use the word tread lightly of how I you know, be compassionate and listen to where they're going, and temper that with trying to give a perspective that's based in this new approach in a way that they might understand. And I try to follow my inspiration in that.
Excellent.
So it's interesting because I'm trying to do it the right way. I guess it's the best way. So I wanted to get some thoughts on that, because I really want to help them along, but make it be a perspective that comes from their inner being as Perfect. Opposed to just mine.
Exactly. Now, first of all, you cannot make a mistake. You cannot do it wrong. You cannot screw up in any way. Everything that you say to them will be for them. Everything that you feel about your role in that conversation will be an indication of whether you have a limiting belief active in your vibration or whether you stand in firm confidence. So if you are absolutely confident in this information and your role as a teacher and leader, you would see them as perfect as they are. You would understand that they are perceiving something in their environment that causes them to feel fear. You'll know that a limiting belief was triggered and activated the fear, and the entire event was designed to allow them the opportunity to notice a limiting belief and then to process that limiting belief. Of course, many people are not aware of this process, and they tend to condemn those manifestation events. They call them wrong. They say that people shouldn't be like that, or that they should have done something differently. They will find fault in the manifestation event because it triggered negative emotion. And what they really wanted to avoid was that negative emotion. You knowing this can then offer insights from a higher perspective, just as their inner self would do if they were able to communicate with that inner self. But since they're in the stream of consciousness of fear and lack, they cannot hear their inner self at that moment. You can. You see, anytime you are in a conversation with a friend, you are creating and working through a spiritual connection. So it's not just you and your friend. It's you and your inner self, your friend's inner self, and your friend. So your friend is reliving some manifestation event, believing that it was wrong, and not understanding the limiting belief that's at the basis of that event. Your friend's inner self obviously is sending the emotion. And that emotion is to allow them to realize that the way they're perceiving the event is off. That's the negative emotion. Their perspective is not aligned with their inner self's perspective. And so their inner self and your inner self get together and they arrange for you to meet up with your friend. And so if you choose to see the event as wrong, you also dip into that consciousness of fear and you can't hear your own inner self. However, if you look at it from outside and you say, oh, my friend's just going through a manifestation event designed to point out a limiting belief, I don't see anything wrong with this event because from the higher perspective, I understand that it's for her benefit. So I'm going to stay neutral in this. I am going to allow her to rant and rave about it, but I see it from the higher perspective for what it truly is. And in doing that, you are now connected to your inner self and to your friend's inner self who are sending you thoughts to say. You are inspired to say something. Now, here's where the tricky part happens. The inspiration that comes through you will also give you some fear, and you will not want to say it because maybe your friend thinks you're not with her in her suffering, or that you think she's wrong, or that she'll think you're crazy for giving her some other idea that to her is new. But see, she can't be with you unless she's ready to get to this next level. She's in your presence because you have an awareness that no one else in her life has. That's why she's there. So the whole event's been orchestrated, set up by the universe for you to be there to offer a new perspective. Now, she may not accept that new perspective in the moment because she's in fear. And so her relationship to whatever you say will be based in fear, and she'll receive urges maybe to change you or to argue with you or to doubt you or whatever it is. But after the fact, when she feels better and gets back into alignment, her inner self is going to send her the memory of what you said. And that's going to impact her. It's going to give her the chance to look at the limiting belief underlying that manifestation event. There's a reason why you're there. It's not an accident. There are no accidents in this reality. There are no coincidences. Nothing is random. You are there for a purpose, and this is your purpose. Yes, you will have to be in alignment. Yes, you will receive inspiration. And yes, you will feel fear upon contemplating that inspired action. But know that if you move, if you take the inspired action, if you do what you're inspired to say, if you say what you're inspired, however it lands is for your highest good and the highest good of her. So if you sit with her, remain neutral, stay in alignment, receive an inspiration, feel the irrational fear, push past it anyway, and say the thing that you're inspired to say in the moment, even if you don't really realize what's going on here. That seems like a weird thing to say, but you just say it and let her react however she reacts, but you come away from it knowing one thing. You received inspiration, you pushed past the fear, and you acted. This will always be for your highest good and the highest good of all involved. It'll be for her highest good as well, even if she resists it in the moment. Later on, she now has an experience that she can be led to. She will think she's remembering it, but what's really happening is her inner self is showing her that memory. And then she has an opportunity to look at that limiting belief or see how come JoJo wasn't as upset as I was? How come she was so calm in that? How come she could see clearly what the issue was? I would like to see what the issue is. Maybe I'll ask her more about this or where she got this information. And that will lead her along her path. You see, all your friends, everyone's friends are on this journey of self-discovery. They are expanding and expanding and expanding. They are living life as they were taught to live it. They are thinking they're flawed and imperfect, and they're unsatisfied with the life they're creating. All of them are. And the reason all these manifestation events are coming is to show them that they're on an inauthentic path and to help them get back on their inspired path. And so you come to this information early, you have your experiences with it, and now you're ready to assist those who come into your life. And all of you are doing the same thing. So those people have come into your life because they know in an eternal way, a non-physical way, that there's something about you that they need to go on their journey of self-discovery. And so they bump up against you. Your role here is to stand firm in your knowledge and confidence of this new approach to life. Now, you may doubt it from time to time, and you may think it should be different, and you may still think you're imperfect in some way, and that's just natural. But that's not what the point is. The point is for, in that moment, for you to have the courage to stand by what you personally know is true and to offer that not in a, you need to believe this kind of thing, but in a, this is my perception of this. This is what I'm seeing. Does this make any sense to you? Very soft, very confident, very loving, and very supportive way. It's the most supportive way. What you would have done in the past is say, oh yeah, you're right. They shouldn't have done that. Oh, you got so unlucky there. Oh, that's just a bad thing that happened to you. Now you'll have to say it in a different way. This is for your benefit. You don't see it now, but it will be shown to you if you can contemplate it from another perspective, that there's some belief system within you that's not true. And this is why that's happened. And you're feeling the urge to act or react to the situation, but don't do that because it's never going to lead to anything you want. Sit with it for a while and you'll see the underlying issue that caused you to feel bad. You'll see that you actually created this. And maybe you don't use those terms, but you use terms that come to you whenever you're inspired. And that's why you're all here, because you're all teachers, you're all leaders. And every single person, we don't care if it's at the clerk at the store or a long-lost cousin or someone you really admire, if they're in your presence, they're there to gain something that you have learned. and that you can put into words that will resonate with them. You can only do that by being in alignment and listening for the intuition and the inspiration that will come from your inner self and from their inner self as well. In this call right now, it isn't just the group of Joshua. It's all of your inner beings and inner selves and guides and supporters all flowing for all of you, not just those of you on the call, but those of you who will listen at a later date. It's all flowing now in a way that you can hear that other people cannot hear, because you're on the leading edge of the leading edge of the leading edge of thought. So these brand new ideas, you have actually allowed us to bring forth. This is your benefit to us, because without your being able to ask these high-level questions, we could never unlock these high-level answers that exist in a state of probability until you receive the inspiration to ask these questions. So bravo to you.
That's helpful. I did notice that she very much wanted me to side with her, and she specifically asked me several times, you know, why doesn't that upset you? I wish I could not get upset like you don't get upset. So that was a good mirror for me to realize that I had made progress. Absolutely. Within this, even though I don't think I have. So thank you.
You have. Absolutely. We guarantee it. Who's next?
Hi, Joshua. I have a question. This is Rechna.
Hi, Rechna.
Hi. My question is about my tomato plants. I planted them about 2 months ago, and I gave them fertilizer, water, care, everything, and they refused to grow more than like a foot or two. It is really irritating me because I keep going, what is wrong? What did I do wrong? And I reached a point where I'm calling my tomato plants idiots. They're like, I have like 8-10 of them, and I'm surprised at my reaction to these tomato plants where I'm actually mad at them. I mean, this is silly. I don't know why I'm so irritated.
This is probably one of the most brilliant questions that anyone has ever asked. What is happening here is that you are involved in a relationship with your tomato plants. And that is a transactional relationship. You say, I will feed you and water you and prune you and take care of you and put a little stake in there so you can stand up and make sure you get enough sunshine and make sure you don't blow over. I will do all these things for you out of love, quotation marks, if you produce tomatoes. Without the production of tomatoes, I will not love you. I will only love you under the condition that the outcome that I'm attached to comes true. And if it does not seem like it's coming true, I will control you and damn you and argue with you and not love you. I will withhold my love. I will punish you by withholding my love until I start to see a sign that you're performing out there the way I want you to perform. And we say this is what all humans are invested in, this transactional approach to relationships. I will love you only if you show me love in return and behave the way that I perceive that you should behave so that I can feel safe, sound, comfortable, and loved by you. And that's never going to work, of course, because it's opposed to not only who you are, but how the whole system of physical reality works. So what you could say is, I love you unconditionally. If you stay this tall for your entire life, I will love you for it. If you die, I will love you for it. If you grow, I will love you for it. I don't care. I have no attachment to the outcome. I'm in a relationship with how perfect you are. And through you, I can see my own perfection. But by wishing they were different than they are, you're simply acting as a victim in a transactional relationship with these plants who are there to serve you in some way. Well, that could be true of the tomato plants. You bought them, you expect something to grow from them, and you demand that they react, and then you're going to use their non-reaction or their non-conformity as your excuse to go out of alignment. And so you get to explore who you're not. You get to be angry at them. They're not angry at you. they're living in bliss and they're doing their part in this relationship so that you can see your own limiting beliefs here. Now, if you can get to a stage where you can unconditionally love a tomato plant, you can unconditionally love a tree, you can unconditionally love an animal, and you can unconditionally love every other person in your life that you love, and you can unconditionally love every other person in your life that you are ambivalent to. You could live in love. Now, if you lived in love without an attachment to the outcome, you would only receive experiences and manifestations based in love. You would receive more love and everything that's associated with love. Every positive emotion associated with love, you would receive in the manifestations of experiences with all the people in your life. If you exist in a transactional relationship, you will only notice how they aren't keeping up to their end of the bargain. Let's imagine that you had a transactional relationship. I give you love if you give me love. I'm going to do this for you, and I expect equal or more in return. Well, if they're transactional, they're doing the same thing. Oh, thank you for that nice birthday card. I'm not going to get you more than a birthday card because you just gave me a birthday card. I would have given you a birthday card plus a gift, but you only gave me a birthday card, so I'm only going to give you a birthday card in return. And so it's always the paring down to the smallest detail that you can give, rather than expressing your love with an open heart, giving what you're inspired to give without any attachment to an outcome. And so in this way, you are expressing love into your reality without asking anyone to be different than they are or to reciprocate that love. Because why would you need love reciprocated if you are love? If you are the source of love in your reality, then everything that comes to you is a mirror. So if you were beaming pure love in your reality and you got love in return, it wouldn't mean anything because you are beaming love. You are the source of love. It's just bouncing back to you, which is natural. If you feel a lack of love, and so you're doing things in order to coerce people to like, love, and respect you, then what comes back will never feel true. It'll never feel authentic. It'll never feel real because you're creating based in lack and fear. And so you'll have a fear that that love isn't real because it isn't real, because you're emoting fear by asking the conditions to be different than they are and perceiving that you're the victim of how they respond to you. Do you see how this works? You are doing whatever you're doing in order to get something rather than being inspired and expressing love because you are love. You are love, you're just confused. You just don't know how to play the game. And so use your tomato plants as practice and say, from this moment forward, I love and accept you as you are. Whatever may be is perfect. I don't need you to be different than you are. If you choose to blossom and produce fruit, fantastic. I will cherish and love that as well. But that fruit will always be a reflection of the love that you are offering. And if you're offering unconditional love, the harvest will be nothing.
Wow. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Excellent. Who'd like to go next?
Fine. I have a silly question.
Excellent. Love silly questions.
So before this call, I was watching Netflix and I was watching a show called Magic for Humans. So it's I was laughing like crazy and I love it. So I'm curious, it's these people that call themselves magicians and they show these wonderful things going on. Is this, some of them could be doing real magic or all is just tricks?
Everything is magic, you see. Okay. There isn't anything other than magic. And it's all your perception of reality. If you were living on Earth 200 years ago and you were brought into 2021, everything would appear to be magic to you. Your internet, your cell phones, your airplanes, your cars, all this would be magic. It's just a creation that is something that your vibration has gotten up to speed with. So someone comes out with a new invention, and at first, no one sees the purpose or the reason for the invention, and so it takes a little while for it to be adopted. Because at the time of the invention, the inventor was the path of least resistance to this brand new idea, this new invention. And because he was the first to be a vibrational match to it, he was the first that had a belief system that could understand the benefit of this invention. But no one else was ready there yet. Maybe there'd be a few people who were in that vibrational vicinity who could see the purpose of it. But until there was some time that goes by, more maybe there's some news stories about it, maybe there's some marketing around it, other people would adopt a belief system or a vibration that would resonate with this high vibration of this new invention. And then pretty soon it becomes universal in the culture. Everyone has adopted the vibration of this new invention. And take the cell phone, for instance. Cell phone took many years to be adopted. The idea was created long ago, and everyone thought, well, why would I need a phone in my car? Or why do I need a phone to carry around with me? I have a phone at the house, or I have a phone in the office. Why would you ever need to do that? And of course, now you couldn't, it's replaced the home phone and the office phone. Now you couldn't live without it. But the vibration of those people back then weren't up to speed with it now. And so as vibrations rise higher and higher, people are up to speed with more things more quickly. And you'll see that older people who were born into the vibration of the earth years ago have lived in resistance, and so they're the last to adopt new technology, or they have difficulty with the new technology. And the younger ones who have the higher vibration are the first to adopt this technology or to rise to the vibration of it, you see. So everything is magic, and what you perceive is based in how you view your reality. And so if you had a rigid belief system and someone did some magic in front of you, you might actually be frightened by it. And you can see people getting frightened by magic all the time, especially if they don't realize it's magic or that it's an illusion. But since everything in physical reality is illusion, then anything can be created within the parameters of your belief system. So the magician has a certain belief system about what's possible and how this would appear to an audience. And so he can create something that works within his belief system, knowing how the trick works, that would fool the person who doesn't know the trick. Their belief system is different, so they cannot perceive how the trick works. They can't figure it out. To them, it appears as magic. Well, the magician's already figured out how this can happen within his own belief system that is unique to him. And so he creates this magic. But you could go further than this, because you can literally be, have, and do anything in this reality. It is designed to create whatever magic you can imagine within the confines of your belief system. And so if you can open that belief system from limited to limitless, then anything's possible. But it won't be magic, because you will have a belief structure that allows it to be real for you, while other people may never, ever understand it. You can have a belief structure that allows you to see a manifestation event as neutral, whereas everyone else might see it as a bad or wrong thing. That would be magic to them. How could you not be bothered by coronavirus? How could you not be bothered by the stock market? How could you not be bothered by losing a job or getting a ticket or getting an argument or whatever it is? How could you remain so calm in the face of what, from their perception, is a horrible thing? Because you are looking at it from a higher perspective. You realize that any negative reaction is based on a limiting belief. You can process the limiting belief. And your purpose for being here is this journey of self-discovery to identify who you truly are as a limitless being. So it's not magic to you, but it's magic to them, you see. So everything is just a matter of perception. Everything is meant to be fun. Everything is meant to be playful. Nothing is serious is going on here. So realize it's all a belief system that allows you to see through the illusion where other people are looking at the illusion.
Oh, wow. So it means that I will believe that I can create a flower in my hand right now. I will do it. It's so about just believing at this moment what I can do or not.
Yes. Well, first off, we'll say that you can absolutely manifest a flower in your hand in this instant. That is not even a trick. That is an easy thing to do. It's as easy as going to the store, picking out and paying for a flower, bringing it home, and then putting it in your hand. The only difference is you believe that the only way to get the flower is to drive to the flower shop, pick out the flower, pay for the flower, drive all the way back, and then present a real flower.
Mm-hmm.
Your belief system is such that that's the only way it could happen. In fact, if you could get past all those beliefs and then deliberately create a flower in your hand, it would frighten you because it goes mm-hmm. against this basic belief structure that you have. And so we say, don't start with things that are so beyond your belief system. Start with things that are more acceptable. And as you move along your ascension from fear to love and gain clarity in every moment, you can see more and more and more possibilities because there's signs being given you all the time. Every time you look at the clock and it's 111 or 222 or whatever it is, every time you get the best parking spot, every time something magical happens, somebody calls you and you're just thinking about them. Every time you ask a question and you get insights that you never thought of before, that's all magic. And you can open that up and open that and start to believe that I'm really just limiting how things can come to me in this reality by this belief structure that was imposed on me through your family and your teachers and your peers and your society and your educational system and the laws and rules and taboos and mores of your society. That was just imposed on you, but that's not real. And you don't have to believe that. You can believe more empowering things. But the ultimate belief is that you are the creator of your reality, the sole creator of your reality. And you can have, be, and do anything in that reality. And there are no limits of any kind, except that is which is imposed by your own choice of beliefs. So now you can pick apart all the limiting beliefs and prove them false because they are not true. And you can increase the intensity of all your beneficial beliefs. But even those aren't true. The only belief that is true is I am love. That's it. And in love, you have everything. It is all existing within love. And all that you are experiencing, whether you think it's good or bad, right or wrong, it's all love. There is nothing but love in this reality. There's the illusion of a lack of love brought on by fear or the lack or of whatever you think you need. But that's based in a set of limiting beliefs. Not true. So we don't want you to wipe off all your limiting beliefs. We want you to expand as you intended prior to your birth, being guided by your inner self through experiences and manifestation events designed to point out limiting beliefs. You may have the limiting belief that you cannot jump out of an airplane without a parachute, but that's not very limiting because you can always put on a parachute. You can always find a device that will allow you to move through that limiting belief. And sometimes that device is magic.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Excellent. Very good. Who'd like to go next?
Hi, Joshua. It's Rob here.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, a minute ago you said the purpose of being here is to discover who you truly are. And I'd just like you to talk a little bit more about the thing that We forget who we are. We come here, forget who we are. I think it's because we get to experience things that are not available in the non-physical.
Exactly.
And along the way, you've also talked about us discovering who we truly are. Can you just talk some more about how and why, etc.?
Who you truly are is always evolving from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. In this physical reality, you come in and you forget who you truly are, and you adopt beliefs about the inauthentic version of you, the untrue version of you. And along the way, you have expansive experiences. And those experiences always move you from fear to love to some degree. Sometimes the experiences, if you can identify a limiting belief, they expand you quite a bit to who you truly are. Sometimes if you're resisting the event and holding on to your belief system about who you are, you still expand, but not as much as you would if you could identify the limiting belief and process that limiting belief. So you all have come through many lives. You come to this life. You intended to expand far enough in this life that while alive, you get a glimpse at who you truly are, which is monumentous. And so you've all been attracted to these teachings and other teachings. You've all been questioning the nature of the reality that you were taught or that was imposed on you. You're all beginning to think for yourselves. You're all imagining that possibly, logically, you are perfect as you are, but you were taught to hold this ideal of the perfect version of you and never attain that. Well, turns out that ideal is not anything to do with you. It's all based in lack and fear. So you leave off that ideal and you say, well, maybe I'm perfect in this moment. Maybe everything's perfect in this moment. Maybe I have everything I need in this moment. Maybe all the things I think I need, I don't really need in this moment. Maybe I can just experience the moment in perfection. Maybe if I can do that, I can be in alignment and I can listen to inspiration from my inner self who will lead me along this journey of self-discovery. And every step of that way, as I push past fear to do things I'm inspired to do, I gain a glimpse of the true me. Every time I act on an urge to change the conditions, I hold firm in my limiting belief about myself. But in this life, you're not always resisting everything. You're not always holding on to that limitation. A lot of times you're pushing past fear to do what you're inspired to do. And in those moments, you're gaining great insight into who you truly are. And if you acted on enough moments, enough of the time, you'd build confidence and confidence, confidence. And that confidence is based on who you truly are. I am lovable. I am capable. I am intelligent. I am funny. I'm fun to be around. People love me. I love people. I am love. You see, you get to this point. Now, all of you are living in this illusion, so you can't even imagine who you are. But you couldn't imagine who you would be now 10 years ago. And so if you look at who you are now compared to who you were 10 years ago, you've gone on a journey of self-discovery, and you're closer to understanding who you are than you've ever been before in this lifetime and any previous lifetimes. So if you keep going on that journey, at some stage, you will break above the clouds and you will see the light. You will see for an instant who you truly are. And then, of course, you'll go back down in the clouds. You'll play around with that idea of who you are. You'll doubt who that is. You will think, well, that's not logical, or that's not beneficial, or whatever it is. And how's that going to help me get more money or these things that I want? And then you say, no, I want to just be on this journey because this journey feels good. It's fun and exciting and interesting. And I am feeling better than ever on this journey because I'm not fighting so often with my superimposed limitations. And so you get back into alignment and you get more inspiration. And then you get the inspiration to do what you did this week, to push past intense fear. And it's the pushing past fear to do what you're inspired to do that gives you insight into the power that you really have. Because by pushing past huge fear to do a simple little task, you gained a new awareness of who you are. You got feedback. And that feedback showed you how showed you the illusion caused by that fear. Why couldn't I reach out to these people? Why couldn't I just simply send them a text? What would be the harm in that? And yet the fear was there. And so you push past that fear, and then lo and behold, you get a text back. And how did that make you feel?
That was incredible. And I took that further, actually. I then emailed my brother and my cousin. My brother hasn't spoken to me for 25 years. I didn't hear back, and I didn't hear back from my cousin. But the important point to me was I now think, well, how was this for me instead of why did that bastard do that to me?
Yes. Yes.
And so exactly. Really, I'm just thought, I don't mind if they email me back or not. It would be lovely if they did. But what I want to do is first get to neutral and then start sending them love and understand that they didn't do anything to me that I didn't kind of want or need them to.
Yes. And so you could come in that from two places. You could come in it from, you feel guilty about not talking to them, and so you receive an urge to change the conditions. And so you text them, you push past that fear, you text them in fear, and then they send back nothing, and then you are in more fear, exploring who you're not, and you will receive other urges to say, how dare they not send me a text back? Transactional.
Yeah, I've done
approach.
That in the past. Yeah, I've done that before.
And then in the new approach, when you're in alignment and you look at your life, it's working here, 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 working very well over here. But here's a part here that I need to add love to. I want to add love into this part of my life. And so the idea comes to you, send a text to these people. And so you say, excellent, from alignment, I'm going to send a text to them. Yet, what if they respond badly? What if they send me a bad message? What if they reject me? That's the irrational fear that pops up every time you're inspired to do anything. But you have the courage and you push past the fear and you had faith that it would turn out optimally, one way or the other. And so you push past the fear, and that's all that was necessary, because this changed every aspect of your entire vibration. The action raised your vibration. And it's because your vibration is higher now that you have more clarity about who you truly are and how the system works. And you remember a little bit more about who you are. Now, you string along enough of those actions, you build a momentum that will carry forward you forward in love, not to fix or solve any problems or to change anyone's opinion of you, but so that you can understand who you are, which is love. And so if you had always been a being of love, none of these manifestation events in the past would have ever happened. Nobody would have abandoned you. No one would have rejected you. No one would have had difficulty with you. You would have been this being of pure love. And you would have asked of them nothing, but given them everything, you see. And in the giving of everything that you had, giving everything you had from a position of love, not fear, not trying to get appreciation or gratitude, but from love, you are simply giving of yourself in love, then love is reflected back to you. But you had to go on this journey to understand that that inauthentic approach to life could not work. That transactional approach does not work. You had to have those experiences, because otherwise you would not have been on your trajectory to really discover who you are in this lifetime.
It you would have needed a very long time to listen.
Yes. You would have needed more and more and more lifetimes. To it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now that you're come to a new level of awareness, you can keep thinking in these terms. How do I add more love to my reality? How do I add more love to my reality? Receive the inspiration, feel the fear, and choose to act or not. Doesn't matter if you don't act, but if you do act, you'll be one step closer to understanding who you truly are, just as you are in the non-physical.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Excellent. We have time for one silly question. Sillier than all the questions that have been asked today and before today, just one little silly question. Who has that silly question?
I do, Joshua.
Excellent.
Hi, it's Elizabeth. How are you? Silly question. I know that we have the opportunity to perceive everything as right or wrong. So say you're outside and all of a sudden it just starts to downpour. Is that meant for you, or are there some things that are just random and have nothing to do with anything?
Well, you would like to believe in luck and randomness, because this would get you off the hook from being the creator of your reality. But there is nothing random. There is no luck. There are no coincidences. Everything that happens in your reality, you created. You created from the non-physical higher perspective. Now, you who is experiencing that reality will say, this downpour sucks. I don't want to be in this rain. It's horrible. I would much rather be a sunny day, driving along on a sunny day instead of getting pelted by rain. This is not comfortable. And so if you decide to disagree with what is happening in your reality, you'll be in resistance and you will dip down into the stream of consciousness based in fear and lack. And you will see if urges to change the conditions, and you'll explore, if you act on those urges, you'll explore more of who you are, not the inauthentic version of you. If you were to say, wow, it's raining right now when we're on our motorcycle driving around here, can't see a thing, what are we going to do? We're getting soaking wet. This must be my creation, yet I can't see it. Let's see what happens. And maybe you'll be inspired to pull off the side of the road and go into some little cafe and meet some waitress and give some waitress some words of encouragement that will make you feel so good about yourself. And if you can look at life from that perspective, that everything is always happening for a purpose, and the purpose is for you to bring in love to your reality, to accept the conditions as they are, to be curious about why this is happening and where this is going and how you can use it or look at it in an empowering way and imagine how it's going to turn out, or just allow it to turn out, and then revel in how it does turn out and say, you know what, if it didn't pour rain there, maybe we'd never have turned off the road and went into this wonderful cafe and met this wonderful person and had these fun words to say with this person. If you can look at everything from that perspective in your life, then you're looking at it as the truth. If you look at it like things are random and you have some bad luck or good luck and that there are coincidences, then you're really looking at this illusion. And since you're moving from the illusion of fear, all illusions based in fear, to the reality of truth, as you are the creator of this reality, then you must say, when I get the first parking spot in the shopping center, I created that. When I get introduced to a new friend, I brought this friend into my life. When I have a manifestation event, I attracted it to discover a limiting belief. Everything that happens to me is for me. Everything that happens is good. I can choose to look at it as if it's bad or wrong if I choose. Or I can choose to look at it as an empowering way and see the truth in that event. And we say, you can play around in your limitations all you want. You could be afraid to call yourself the creator. You can keep looking at things as if they're random. Or you can start just for a little while and imagine that you are actually creating all of this. And all of it is for you. All of it is good. All of it is right. All of it serves a purpose. There are no mistakes anywhere in the universe. There is no wrong anywhere in the universe. Everything that happens, happens for you. You start being that version of you, creating a persona based in that version of you, interacting with life in that version, and expressing love by saying, this is for me, this is right, this is my creation. We promise you, you're going to raise your vibration, get more clarity, expand to the truth of who you are, and realize that what we've been saying is right all along. And when you realize that, you will be out of the illusion and into the truth of this reality. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you, Dasha. I knew you would say that.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
It was amazing.
Thanks, everyone. Well, those were some amazing questions. I really enjoyed the one about the tomato plant and how we tend to have this transactional relationship with everything in our lives, all the people and all the experiences that we have. We'll give our love only if we are, you know, we'll get it in return, that sort of thing. And so we wait to get it before we give it. And of course, that doesn't work. So I thank everyone for being on the call and these amazing questions. And I thank you for being here as well. I really appreciate your support. And if you could like and subscribe and leave a review for this podcast, that would be absolutely awesome. Until next time, have a wonderful week. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.